It is intrinsic. It's something that that the government can't figure out. The Church of Jesus Christ has the answer for the spirit of addiction, but the answer is not found in dead religion. It's found in a genuine, life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. You can't just go to Bible class and be delivered from the spirit of addiction. The Bible said they didn't repent of many things in the book of Revelation, and one of the things that they did not repent of was their sorceries. And we think of that especially this Halloween season as witchcraft and the occult. But the actual Greek word was pharmakos, and it had to do distinctly with drugs and addiction. In fact, many of the people who practice sorcery would use drugs to get them in an altered state of consciousness to entertain evil spirits. So that's how they kind of linked up. But you have that word at the base of it. You have pharmakos, the word we get pharmacy from. And in the good sense, you get something you need for a cold, something you need for pain, or something you need for congestion. But in the evil sense, addiction is used to actually alter a person's thinking and their state of mind to where they can become spiritually blinded and bound by the enemy. So we have a tremendous problem in America with drug abuse. When they had a czar that declared war on drugs in South America, the Colombian drug lords actually got communications back to those who were wanting to use military force to try to, and they're still trying to do that in Mexico. You realize there's been about 40,000 deaths in Mexico related to drug addiction, more than in the wars that we are fighting overseas altogether right now. Not all the wars, but this war, these wars particularly. 40,000 people. It's nothing to get up and read that 25 or 30 people were found massacred in Mexico, just over our border, just a little south of us. Drug addiction touches homes. Alcohol addiction touches homes. It breaks lives. But there is hope and victory in Jesus Christ today. Amen. And so there, Mothers Against Meth have got some videos out. And I just want you to pray with us tonight. I feel distinctly, Sean, tonight to pray for our children. I have a son who made a start for God. He's having issues now. I'm not going to give up on him because I believe that God's hand is still stretched out toward him. He's facing a lot of things that the enemy is using. He's made decisions that are not in his own best interest as far as getting in church and getting under the Word of God. I can't keep victory. I'm not saying I would become a drug abuser, but I can't, or alcohol, but I can't keep victory in my areas that I need victory without staying exposed to the Word of God, the presence of God, and God's people. Amen. So I just want you to pray for our children tonight. How many believe that? And grandchildren. And I've even got great-grandchildren. We got to see our little Molly. I'm going to bring her to church one day, or let my grandson bring Molly again. She is the sweetest little doll you ever saw. I mean, you just want to squeeze her and squeeze her and squeeze her. She's that kind of... And until she makes little funny noises, until she sings la 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 la. She is, yes, and Pamela taught her that. Amen. Very complicated song, but I'm a great grandpa, but I'm concerned about my children. I'm concerned about my grandchildren, concerned about my great grandchildren. And I was praying that God would somehow let me, because they're on that part of the family, not this part of the family. We rarely see any of them. But I was praying about that, and my grandson called me to use my computer to download some stuff and that he needed online, since they're not online right now. So that kind of hooked us up. So we're getting, and then he said, well, I'm going to bring Molly. And he didn't want anything that time. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good. And so we're developing a rapport and a relationship that we can have an influence for Jesus with them. But just, this is mothers. This is not about Jesus as much as it is just showing the effect effects of drug abuse, we know what they need. It's Jesus. I used to sing that. Remember when I used to sing that all the time. It's Jesus that they need. Back when I didn't have such a raspy, bluesy voice. Amen. All right. Let's let our hearts be tugged and touched. There's a community out here, and there's families in here that need this message tonight of Jesus' victory and freedom for those that will look to Him. We serve a good God. And there's no throwaway people. There's not a person that God doesn't love enough to give His Son for. And except for the grace of God, that could be you or me. I never got into meth. My stuff was light comparatively. But the road to addiction begins a lot of times with the light stuff. And it graduates up to the harder stuff. And everybody believes they can handle it. There's not a person that is destroyed that thought they would be destroyed when they began to use. And that's the lie of Satan. But there's hope in Jesus. Some people are delivered like that. Some people go through a process of getting set free. And it's good to understand when there are setbacks that that doesn't mean all is lost. It's important to remember. Did you know one of the great addictions, and not as dangerous as these, except over time, accumulatively, can give you lung cancer and emphysema, is smoking. But smoking is something that some people are, boom, like that. Others go through a process of weaning off of it. But the important thing is that people meet the one who can set them free. Can you say amen and receive Him into their life? Because that is the process that begins the change. Let's look at this testimony. Apologize for the graphics a little bit, but just listen to the words and see someone who's been there and where God brought them from. To see there's hope for anybody. There's nothing. Everybody say there's nothing impossible with God. Isn't that incredible to know tonight when we're getting ready to pray for some hard cases and hard situations and things that look so hopeless sometimes, but there's nothing impossible with God. Hallelujah.
Joseph Rojas was a drug addict who stole money from his family to get high. He was in and out of prison, and he nearly died of an overdose. Joseph wasn't exactly the ideal role model, but his story is changing the lives of thousands of teens, and you're about to see why.
Joseph Rojas grew up in the housing projects of Victoria, Texas, where gunfire and sirens echoed through the neighborhood. But for Joseph, the rough streets became a refuge from the nightmare of his home life.
I remember being 3.5 years old and about 10 feet away from my father as he beat my mother bloody. And that was the memories I grew up with.
When Joseph was still a small child, his father left the family.
First of all, it made me feel like, you know, what's wrong with me? You know, what's wrong with me? You know, my dad hasn't called me. And I wondered what was so bad about me that, you know, I couldn't even keep a dad around.
Joseph's mother worked long hours to provide for her two boys. Many times they were left alone to fend for themselves.
I just was hurt so bad and felt so, you know, so empty and so alone and like I was never going to be accepted that, you know, I was looking for something to just take the pain away. And I found it by hanging out with a group of kids that got high. And so I went straight to cocaine, you know, at the age of about 14 years old. Before I knew it, a line became two lines. Two lines became three lines, and by the end of it all, the age of 21 years old, I had a $400 a day cocaine addiction. People always ask me, Joseph, how did you use $400 a day worth of cocaine if you didn't have a job and you didn't? And I sold drugs. I mean, I would sell drugs to, you know, or rob and steal, whatever I had to do, but, you know, I stole from my own mother to get high. A mother that did nothing but love me, a mother that would have given her life for mine. I was about 18 years old and my mother gave her life to Christ. She was looking for help so desperately for me that my mother ended up meeting a lady that took her to church. And I remember her coming home telling me that Jesus could change my life, that He can make me brand new. I didn't really believe in God. What kind of God lets you grow up without a father? What kind of God allows you to hate yourself the way you hate yourself? I'd say, Mom, I'm just a drug addict. And even if there is this God in heaven, what would he want with a worthless drug addict like me? Well, I'm a convicted felon. You know, I've been in and out of jails and institutions since I was a kid. What would God want with me? Do you know my mother took her life savings to send me to a rehab in California? And 30 days later, I was high, and my mom's life savings was gone. And these are things that were almost unbearable. And so I decided to take my life. I was tired of hurting my mother. I was tired of breaking my mother's heart. I decided to take a lethal dose of cocaine to stop my heart. And I didn't want my mom to be the one to find me, you know, and I had just made the decision I was done living. My mother walked in unexpectedly, and I overdosed on cocaine in front of my mother on her living room floor. And I remember my mom calling the paramedics and screaming out to God, and the paramedics came and they had me hooked up to all these wires and this machine, and they put me in the back of the ambulance, and it was in the back of the ambulance that I felt the power of God. It was in the back of the ambulance that I felt the very hand of God. I couldn't speak, but with my heart and my mind, I said, Jesus, you know, if you still have me, if you would still have me as broken and empty as I am, just a worthless drug addict, then I would give my life to you tonight. And that was the first time in my life that I ever knew the love of a father. That was the first time in my life that I ever felt like I got picked. It was the first time in my life that I ever felt like a complete person.
After becoming a Christian, it took Joseph nearly 2 years to break free from drug addiction.
For some people, it's, you know, it's day by day, one day at a time. But for me, it was hour by hour. And so I pick myself back up and I say, I'm going to go another hour. And then I go. And before I knew it, I got 2 days. And then I got a week. And before I knew it, I have a month. And then I have 2 months. And then you have a year. And then you have 2 years. And then the list goes on. And before you know it, you know, it's 11 years later. And you have a beautiful wife and 3 kids and a beautiful home and 3 dogs. And life is awesome, you know, and I see God every step of the way.
Started a Christian rock band, now known as Seventh Day Slumber. Because of their strong emphasis on ministry, the band has helped countless teens through online counseling at teenhopeline.com. They have also seen thousands of people answer altar calls at concerts. Among those people, Joseph's own father.
And I begin to pray for my dad every day. I begin to pray that God would move in his life, that God would let him know that he may have made a mistake, but he's not worthless. We played another concert, it was raining, and I gave the altar call, and people, kids and adults, started coming to the altar in the rain, and I saw my dad in the crowd, and he gave his life to Christ that day, and I was able to lead my father to Jesus. Now my mom cries a lot still, but it's because I call her from the road telling her how many kids gave their life to Christ at our concert that night. And that's how awesome God is. I'm here to tell you that God is a restorer, that God is a healer, that he changes lives, and that there's nothing that you've ever done that you can't come back from with the love of Christ. But I promise you one thing. I promise you with all of my heart, that if you will give your life to Christ, if you will give him everything, he will take you places that you never even imagined were possible. I promise you that.
You know, in order to love, to really love, you have to have the choice.
Yeah, God can do that. He can do it for our kids, and he can do it for the people in this neighborhood and the people in this city. Can you say, man, let's stand together. We're going to pray to that end tonight, right where you are. We're just going to pray right where we are. But let's stand together and join together tonight in prayer. Amen. There's nothing that God can't do. Nothing is impossible with God. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God tonight. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight. Lord, I have a son who asked me, said, Dad, at my mother's funeral, he looked me in the eye and he said, Dad, keep praying for me. just because it's so hard sometimes. But there's nothing too hard for him, for God. And Father, help, Lord, tonight, those that feel so bound that there's no way out, fettered by chains that feel so strong, they feel they can never be free. Father, I pray tonight in the name of Jesus Christ for those chains to be broken. I plead the blood of Jesus tonight, Lord, over my own family and the families represented here, and our kids and our children, in the name of Jesus, that every bound one will be set free, and every blind one will be able to see the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ and choose him over the world and over Satan and over sin tonight, and find the joy of living for him and the freedom that he offers, Father. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we intercede tonight, Lord, that you would reach forth your hand to heal, and not just heal physically tonight, but heal spiritually, and not just open blind eyes that have never seen physically, but open blind eyes that have never truly seen spiritually tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we know that you're a mighty God and that you're mighty to save tonight. So, Father, we invoke your presence here tonight, Lord, through our lives and through our prayers to believe you for great and mighty things. Show us, Lord, your glory. And not by, Lord, we would love to see a pillar of fire. We'd love to see the cloud. Lord, we'd love to see the smoke that filled the temple, but oh God, that's not what we're after tonight. Oh God, we want to see lives changed. We want to see souls saved. We want to see men and women, boys and girls delivered and set free. Show us your glory by raising them spiritually from the dead, just like you did Lazarus. Lord, you said at Lazarus' tomb, if they would believe, they would see the glory of God. They didn't see a bright light. They saw a dead man rise. Hallelujah. Ola bakoronda da basita salabarita tenemokote. And you've quickened us, Lord, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And Father, we pray for that tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord, all over this world and in this community and in this city, Father, let your hand move to deliver and to set free. Let the sign of soul set free be the greatest sign as the gospel is preached. And Father, heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils. And Father, all of those confirming things, but above all, save the lost and set the captive free in the name of Jesus tonight. And turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. In Jesus' name and for the glory and the honor of God tonight. Father, we praise you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Give us a fresh vision. Give us a compassionate heart. Don't let us see anyone as hopeless. Don't let us see anyone, no matter how hard their heart is or how blind their eyes are. There's nothing impossible with God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve tonight. Hallelujah. What a mighty God that we serve tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just praise him one more time tonight. Hallelujah. God's heard our cry. It's in tune with his own heart tonight. Don't let this be the end of it. Let this be part of our prayers as we pray all throughout this week. Let's don't let up. Amen. Let's hold on. Hallelujah. Until we see God move like that in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. Amen. I want to close again with the Mississippi Mass Choir tonight. Something sweet to quit off on. Amen. God can do anything. Can you say amen? Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is too hard for him tonight. Amen. What a mighty God. I have a great expectation of seeing some things happen that the devil is fighting tooth and toenail. But I expect to see some things happen. Brother Sean, I said, I'm just crazy enough to believe that it's not too far gone for God to fix. Can you say, man, aren't you glad there's nothing too far gone for God to fix if we put our trust in him tonight? Hallelujah. Let's rejoice in him. Hallelujah. Before we leave this room tonight, no vision. And you don't believe God is able. And you're living in a box, a religious box that can't see God doing anything good because man is too evil and they deserve to be punished. Honey, you deserve to be punished. But you're not being punished. You're being given mercy because this God of love reached way down and saved your soul tonight. And he's not just loving on you, darling. He loves them too tonight. And that's why there's hope in Jesus for revival in these last days right here in the United States of America. Because God is able. Not because people are so open to the gospel, but because God is able. Can you say amen? He got you, didn't he? He got me, and he didn't get me because I was... Such a God-oriented person. He got me because I came to an end of myself and I needed a Savior, and I looked up and he reached down. What a mighty God we serve tonight, and what a gracious God. Let's join hands. We'll close in prayer. Thank you for coming tonight, interceding for kids that and people in communities, and just like this one right here. I'm sure there's plenty of addicted people in this community that are not in church on Sunday morning, but they need to be. And I am using every bit of energy I have. I'll be honest with you. I don't waste time with a bunch of junk. If somebody don't want Jesus, I ain't going to mess with you very long. I'm going to reach out to those that will hear and heed the gospel. If someone just wants to talk about how bad things are, I have no time for you. I'm going to tell you I love you, but I don't have any time to give you. Amen. What time I have, what energy I have between all my responsibilities, I want to use for souls. I want to see people come into the kingdom of God, Sean. I want to see people born again. I want to get that radio broadcast to the nations of the world. I want to cover that whole thing up there with pins, not because I'm competing with any other evangelist, but because, amen, there's an evangelistic call on me, not just a pastoral call. Amen. If people don't want to come to church and they don't have a heart for God, to tell you the truth, I'm not going to chase them down and try to take them to dinner and chum them up. If they don't have a heart for God, they need to hit an altar. They don't need me petting on them. Can you say amen? Are you listening to me? I'm serious about this tonight. You don't build God's church on just trying to be chummy with people or entertain them in or listen, if the Spirit of God don't add to the church will not grow truly without the Spirit of God. Amen. And I'm tired. I'm wore out. I'm give out. I want to give what I have to someone who will take it to heart. Someone who will bring forth fruit. Someone, amen, that will come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Can you say amen? 20 years in church, you ought to have it together by now. Put on your big boy pants. Can you say amen? Amen. Ladies, put on your big girl unmentionables. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's time to grow up. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Ain't chasing nobody. If you want to stay home and backslide, Brother Venable ain't going to come trying to drag you into God's house and make you worship a God that's not worthy in your heart to begin with. Can you say amen? But oh, the people that don't know him out there, that may fall in love with him, that may come running to his house, that may take his word to heart, that may get a heart to worship him and love him. There are people that are hitting and missing right here. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. They've been in services where God has loved them. He has come down. He's manifested his glory, and it hadn't changed their heart a bit. They're still caught up in the things of this world. But I'm going to tell you something. There's some people out there would be glad to know what you know tonight, to have, if they only knew, amen, what Jesus could do. Amen for them. If they knew who it was that said, give me to drink, he would ask of, that lady would ask of him, and he would give her living water, and she'd never thirst anymore if she only knew the Jesus that some people know, and it's not that important. But I'm telling you tonight, I'm having to just put all of that aside because it disgusts me, it discourages me, and it drains my energy for the vision for the people who need Christ and who may receive him and may appreciate him tonight. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? 20 years in church, you ought to have it together. Amen. You ought not need baby food no more. You ought not need somebody to pitch you no more. You ought to help me to win somebody to Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. And by the way, if people want to fall away from God and choose this world, it gets tough out there after a while. Because I've watched people do that, and it ain't fun, amen, trying to just stay busy in the things of the world and neglect the things of God. I've never seen anybody happy. I've never seen any home that didn't get broken. I've never seen any heart that didn't get broken. I've never seen anybody financially prosper. And if they did, it became a curse instead of a blessing to keep them blind and keep them independent from God. But if the true children of God would band together and share a vision and say, God is able, and ask Him to do it, I believe we would see a Holy Ghost revival. And I believe we would see souls ushered into the kingdom of God. And I believe we'd see a church that and I'm not just talking about this one, but a church world that is asleep in the light. Can you say, man, that's the terrible thing about it. The world is asleep in the dark, Keith Green said, but the church is asleep in the light. And that is the danger, because what else can you give the church but the light of the gospel, of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ? When the world sees it, when they see it, when God breaks through because of our intercessions and millions of others like us tonight, when the world sees the glory of the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen, they come to Jesus, they run to Jesus. If they ever see it, but the God of this world has blinded the minds of men. So you know what we become? Those blind people can see us though. Isn't that incredible? They can't see the glory of the gospel. They can't see God. They can't see Christ as He is. But guess what they can see? They can see me and they can see you. And the Bible said, guess what? They can't see the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus because of the God of this world, but they can see us. And therefore we become to them the light of the world. Can you say, man, ye are the light to this old... We're God's luminaries tonight. Praise God. Remember when we used to sing, this little light of mine? This is a little light of mine. I can't even sing that song if we leave the word little light. Can you say, man? Because this is not a little light. This is a bright light. Can you say, man? It's a brilliant light. And this bright light of mine is the only way I can sing that song now. I'm going to let it shine for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's going to take a bright light to penetrate this gross darkness. But that bright light lives in you and lives in me. And we're living epistles written and read of all men. No wonder the devil fights us tooth and toenail, because he doesn't want victorious witnesses for Jesus. But God, amen, has ordained it, and he's moving in that direction. And I'm not discouraged tonight by what the Lord is doing or not doing. I am absolutely committed to see the glory of God. Amen. I'll accept nothing less for this congregation, this little place right here. Hallelujah. Hey, stretch your hand before we leave. One more prayer. Quick prayer. Stretch your hand toward that map. Amen. Where the gospel is going from this little place and from this little ministry in terms of our size physically. Believe me, we're not little spiritually here. Amen. God is taking his word. Lord, continue to send your word to the nations of the world, to the people who will take it to heart, the people that will heed it, oh God. Souls that will be saved, people that will be set free, somebody about to commit suicide that will get hope in their heart and not carry it out. Lord, deliver souls that are captive, open eyes that are blind. In the name of Jesus Christ, deliver them from their destructions for the glory and the honor of God. Let every sermon and service here, Lord, be sent to others that will take it to heart and will run with the vision in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Thank you for praying with me. Remember, amen, to continue to pray this week in intercession that all of our kids and grandkids, and if you're old as me, our great-grandkids, will come to know Jesus Christ, and the hearts of the fathers will turn back to the children and the children back to the fathers and the mothers too. Shake somebody's hand and say, God's going to do it again. Will you do that? Praise God. God's going to do it again.